Donnie Ellis in third. Pole sitter Kelly Yarborough, an early leader who was plagued with pit stops, ended fourth, and Lenny Pond finished fifth. The NASCAR circuit now moves on to Bristol, Tennessee for the Southeastern 500 on April 2nd. This is Stuart Stogel in Atlanta.
In the National Basketball Association yesterday, Boston over Denver, 122-95. It was Phoenix, 83, Cleveland, 112. Detroit over Chicago, 112-92. Kansas City defeated Buffalo, 122-108. Seattle over San Antonio by a score of 116-98. It was Milwaukee, 117, Washington, 106. And Los Angeles defeated Atlanta, 101-87. At the CKO Sports Desk, I'm Dave LaFave.
This hour's top stories. The United Nations Security Council has demanded the immediate withdrawal of Israel's invasion force from southern Lebanon. But there are signs the Israelis will not heed the demand. The trial of 15 members of the Urban Guerrilla Red Brigades group resumed today in Turin, Italy. There was a brief suspension of the trial following a dispute between the judge and police. Police firing tear gas today repelled a violent mob of several thousand taking part in a major demonstration in Lahore. The demonstration was the largest since former Pakistani Prime Minister Ali Bhutto was sentenced to death for murder during the weekend. And the International Olympic Committee has called for permanent contacts between the Olympic movement and governments. The aim is to curb increasing political interference in sports. This is CKO Radio News.
It's the attitude at Parkway Country. From the receptionist,
this is Gloria,
to the general sales manager.
The attitude is very good. People are happy, they like their work, and they like looking after our customers.
From Lucy in accounting,
I think everybody tries to do their best for the customers.
To Art in credit.
We can make all financial arrangements for a person to buy a new car with no down payment.
From the service manager.
Right now I'm so busy, I have to talk to the customer first.
To the leader.
We're here to help you buy a car, not to sell you a car.
It's the attitude at Parkway Country.
CKO invites your participation in our programming. If you or your organization have a special event scheduled, let CKO listeners know about it. At least 1 week prior to the event, send a notice to CKO 12316 Jasper Avenue, Suite 203. Include the date, time, location of the event, in addition to a phone number where information can be obtained should it be required. Promote the activities of a public service organization on CKO6.
The Israeli army, driving northward despite a UN call for withdrawal, has claimed control of southern Lebanon up to the Latani River. The government declares that any settlement of the conflict must ensure that Palestinians do not return to the area. Newsman Larry Thorson says that the Israelis are reported to be north of the Lebanese port of Tyre.
The chief of staff, General Gore, was interviewed there yesterday, and he said then that they were not planning to take the town itself because of the large concentrations of Palestinians. Too many people, too many refugees in the town of Tyre itself.
Newsman Larry Thorson. Newsman George Krimsky says the first UN peacekeeping forces are en route to southern Lebanon.
An advanced party of United Nations peacekeepers is now en route from the Sinai to the southern Lebanese border through Israel. The advanced party consists of 35 UN peacekeeping troops. It will be followed by a reinforced battalion estimated to be about 750. The force should grow to there, from there to about 4,000 men in the next couple of days if all goes according to the schedule outlined at the United Nations.
Newsman George Krimsky. The leftist Communist Alliance didn't appeal to voters in France, and so the Gaullists remain in power.
President Valéry Giscard d'Estaing's Gaullist-based government is once again firmly entrenched in France. French voters in national parliamentary elections gave him 288 seats in the National Assembly to the leftist opposition's 199. The margin is slimmer than it was, but it is still comfortable enough to let the president act with authority. The outcome marked a clear rejection of the leftist party's pledges to bring communists into the government, raise the minimum wage, and increase welfare payments. The president and his supporters warned this could ruin the economy. But the real issue seems to have been the prospect of communist government ministers in this basically conservative country. The answer to that idea was provided by the voters. It was a clear no. Edward Cody, Paris.
The trial of the accused Red Brigade's terrorists is underway amidst massive security.
The trial, which all of Italy wishes had never started, is underway here now in an army barracks near the city center. The grim red brick building has had work costing hundreds of thousands of dollars carried out on it, turning it into a prison within a court. The accused, manacled and chained together, are facing the judge from behind steel bars, herded together in a specially constructed cage in the courtroom. During the last few days, there have already been threats on the lives of the judge and jurors, threats that in the political climate of Italy today, everyone is taking seriously. And so determined is the government that this trial shall go ahead that reserve jurors have been selected in case any shall have second thoughts about turning up for jury duty. Peter Sharp at the Red Brigade trial in Turin.
It will be Friday before it is known how striking coal miners in the United States feel about the industry's latest contract offer. The local union leaders have been briefed and must now pass the information on to the general union membership. The members of the United Mine Workers will start hearing details of their proposed coal contract today in preparation for Friday's ratification vote. A tentative settlement of West Germany's three-week newspaper strike was reached today. The tentative agreement came after extensive mediation by Chancellor Helmut Schmidt's top aide. The settlement was accepted by printers' union officials in Stuttgart. The newspapers can resume publication tomorrow if publishers represented in the talks by three associations also endorse it. It's that time of the year when Canadians are filling in their income tax returns. And now to discuss various aspects of our tax laws, here's Bill Anderson of the Victoria office of Winspear, Higgins, Stevenson & Company, Chartered Accountants.
In this day of higher and higher income tax rates, it becomes difficult to decide where to invest surplus capital to avoid or reduce personal taxes. It is not unusual to find many individuals with sizable investment portfolios paying personal tax rates in excess of 50% on their interest income. If this investment has been set aside to accumulate for the retirement of these people, then the investment continues to be eroded by the high tax rates as well as the continuing inflation level. If the taxpayer is contemplating deferring income by the use of tax shelters, he should also consider the use of a deferred annuity to shelter interest income from taxes. Generally, a deferred annuity works in the following way. A single deposit is made with the investment agency, and no payments are made to the taxpayer until such time as the annuity matures. At that time, the taxpayer will pay tax only on the interest portion of the monthly or annual annuity payments received. By sheltering investment income in an annuity contract, the interest will compound without the requirement of paying a portion of it over to the government each year. For example, $10,000 invested at 8% compounded without taxes in 20 years will accumulate to over $46,000. If an individual made a similar investment but paid personal taxes on the income at 50% tax rates, they would have only $22,000 on hand at the end of 20 years. If the individual dies before the annuity matures and starts to repay to him, the cash value together with all of the accumulated interest will be paid to his beneficiaries tax-free, as it qualifies as a life insurance policy. In summary, then, a deferred annuity can be both a good investment and a valuable tax shelter.
That was Bill Anderson, a chartered accountant in the Victoria office of Winspear, Higgins, Stevenson & Company.
You should always protect yourself against fire occurring in the home. Items like smoke alarms and extinguishers are easily obtained and can reduce the fire hazard. Install smoke alarms in strategic areas of your home and conduct fire drills with your family, and always include escape routes. It's also a good idea to have a few approved fire extinguishers placed where they're easy to reach, just in case. If a fire does occur, stay low, crawling if necessary. Alert others to the fact and attempt to find the origin of the blaze. And if possible, try to put it out with an extinguisher by aiming a stream at the base of the fire. In case of a floor fire, sweep the stream from the base in, maintaining a circular motion to ensure that the fire doesn't reignite behind you. For a wall fire, sweep from the bottom up, and never try to ventilate by opening doors and windows until you are sure the fire is out. Protect yourself.
This is CKO Radio. All news all the time. It's the top of the hour. I'm Clifford Fletcher. Victor Hayes is at the editor's desk. Here are the top stories to this hour as I see them. It's reported Syrian and Iraqi military trucks are moving toward the front lines in Lebanon, where Israeli troops have seized all of the territory below, almost doubling their 6-mile security strip. The trucks, it is thought, carry arms and ammunition. Meantime, Israeli Prime Minister Menachem Begin is conferring in New York with former U.S. Secretary of State Henry Kissinger before flying to Washington for talks and a possible confrontation with U.S. President Carter. The Socialist-Communist Coalition in France is still smarting over its loss to the center-rightists in yesterday's National Assembly elections. The leftist coalition seems to be falling apart, with leaders from both sides quarreling and blaming each other for that loss. A study by a nonprofit business research organization in the States says salaries, pensions, or other benefits may soon have to take a back seat to a guaranteed job. The U.S. Supreme Court has opened the doors for a new trial in that $46 million lawsuit against Ohio Kent State University students during a 1970 anti-Vietnam War demonstration. The men who occupy Canada's House on the Hill are cleaning up as much of the leftovers as they can from the legislative shelves before heading home for the Easter vacation. There are suggestions an election call will come before they have to return. And a rooming house is home for the major protest group of anti-sealers. The Greenpeace Foundation is waiting for permits to visit the ice floe.
CKO News continues. It's 2 minutes past 10 o'clock. Now with a regional sports roundup, here's Bob Unger.
A super finish for a super hockey team. That describes yesterday's 6-5 win by the University of Alberta Golden Bears over the University of Toronto Blues for the Canadian Intercollegiate Athletic Union Hockey Championship. The Bears, who ran up a 20-4 regular season record in Canada West play, took UBC in the finals in 3 games, then didn't lose in the Canadian Championships. They beat Regina and St. XF before beating the Blues in the final. Captain Kevin Primo led the way scoring-wise for the Bears yesterday with a pair of goals. Dave Breakwell also had 2. Stan Swales and John Devaney picked up singles. The score was close, but the shots on goal were not, as the Bears outshot Tom Watt's Blues 47-23. It was revenge of sorts for Claire Drake's group. Last year, Toronto beat them in the final right here at Varsity Arena. The fact the Bears were shut out of the CIAU All-Star team probably added a bit of incentive. Meanwhile, in Fort Saskatchewan last night, the Fort Saskatchewan Traders had to come from behind to beat the Edmonton Crusaders 5-4. They trailed by 2 goals midway through the third period, but battled back to tie it. Then Johnny Wasiak, who had been in a scoring slump so far in the series, paid off with the big one, the winner, with 1 minute and 54 seconds left in the game. The Fort takes the series 4-3. They now advance against Calgary and either St. Albert or Red Deer in the three-team round-robin tournament. St. Albert, of course, had won that series with a 7-5 win the other night, but the league has upheld the Red Deer protest, which forces another game to be played to decide the series. When is politics going to stop interfering with young people's games? The 7th game goes tonight, minus both head coaches who have been suspended. Also, both teams have been fined $500 because of that brawl at the start of last week's games. The Cowboy Bill Flett jinx continues to plague the Cincinnati Stingers. Last night, the Oilers defeated the Stingers in a crucial game, 4-2, with the Cowboys scoring his 5th game winner against Cincinnati this year. The winning goal came just after the midway mark of the third period, with the Cowboy firing a blistering drive straight for goalie Mike Lewitt's face. He ducked in time, but left his hand above his head to make the catch. He only got enough of the puck to deflect it down and behind him into the net. The net was empty later on as Flett scored his 2nd goal of the night. The insurance marker, it was Flett's 41st of the season. Chipperfield and Schmier scored the other Oiler goals. Schmier, by the way, the latest addition to the injury list along with Norm Ferguson. Schmier took not one but 2 shots on his left foot. He kept playing right to the end, but took crutches home last night and x-rays are scheduled for this morning. He will possibly miss Wednesday's game against Birmingham. The Oilers have announced they have agreed to terms with Cal Sandbeck. He's a 6-foot, 1-inch, 210-pounder. He just graduated from the University of Denver. He was dressed last night, but only saw about 39 seconds of action the last 8 of the first period and the last 31 after the insurance goal, but he will be ready again on Wednesday. Meanwhile, Joe Micheletti will start skating again this morning. Denny Savchuk has been skating and shooting, but his shoulder is still a little bit tender. The longer they can wait for him, the stronger he will be. As far as Norm Ferguson, he collided with Juha Vidin in the third period behind the Cincinnati goal. It looks like he has broken his cheekbone, but he may be able to play in a week or so with a face mask. The Canadian Senior Wrestling Championships were held at the university over the weekend. The big stories were the openweight category wrestler Bob Gibbons of Saskatoon and Ron Moncure of the 48-kilogram class. Both wrestlers were double gold medal winners this weekend in the freestyle and the Greco-Roman competition. The University of Alberta's Sid Thorowski showed well. He won the silver medal in that open class. The top wrestlers of this event will be invited to a training camp in Regina in July to decide who will make the Commonwealth team. Bob Unger, CKO News.
CKO News time, 6 minutes past 10 o'clock. You're listening to CKO 6, 101 on your FM dial. The current downtown Edmonton temperature is 4 degrees Celsius. Cloudy, some sunshine today, isolated showers, clearing during the afternoon. Moderate to strong westerly winds. The highs today, plus 8 to plus 10. The lows tonight around minus 2. Mainly sunny tomorrow, moderate northwest winds. The highs tomorrow near plus 5. Currently, winds are out of the west at 17 kilometers per hour. The barometer is 29.74. Piermont Realty, an energetic Edmonton company who live by their slogan, personalized service is our specialty. The knowledgeable people at Piermont Realty are specialists in all facets of real estate and investment. Located at 10107 82nd Avenue. Open 8:30 a.m. to 8:30 p.m. Call them now, 433-6475.
Over 530 teacher delegates will meet March 27th to 29th in the Calgary Convention Center to debate resolutions and policies of the Alberta Teachers Association. The 61st Annual Assembly will feature discussions of reports and resolutions and approval of their 1978-79 budget. The Assembly formally begins Monday morning, March 27th, with sessions opening at 9 a.m. Most sessions are open to the public.
Before we say anything else, spring arrives at 6:34 this evening Eastern Time, 4:34 in Calgary, and 3:34 in British Columbia. Spring at last. MPs begin their Easter recess this Wednesday, leaving a House of Commons that's slowed nearly to a halt as opposition and government members await the call for a federal election.
Despite two calls to adjourn the House of Commons last week, the Liberal government still hopes to pass at least two bills now awaiting final reading. One will give the green light to construction of the Alaska Highway Pipeline. The government hopes to pass it this week before the recess begins, so Foothills Pipeline can begin raising money for the project. Delays in passing the bill mean eventual construction delays. However, the NDP may hold up speedy passage, trying to get guarantees written into the bill that Canadian workers and companies will get most of the business from pipeline construction. The government says, however, it will not provide that guarantee. The other bill requiring urgent attention is the post-controls bill. Controls will be lifted gradually, beginning April 14th, so the bill must be passed if the process is to begin on time. So far, it appears this legislation won't encounter any major obstacles. And although there is a host of other bills still at the second reading stage, the fate of most of them is doubtful. If Prime Minister Trudeau calls an election in mid-April, for mid or late June, most of them will die on the order paper. And depending on the outcome of the election, many could die altogether. Included are the mail opening bill now being debated in the House and legislation creating a Comptroller General. On Parliament Hill, Jeff Raymond, CKO News.
Canada's fourth-ranking National Political Party erupted in bitter invective in the final session of a three-day policy meeting in Winnipeg. The Social Credit Party voted to hold a national leadership convention in Winnipeg May 6th, and this decision is threatening to split the party. Some Quebec delegates claim their province accounts for 85% of the party's membership. They have refused to accept the meeting's decision on the convention site, and now say they want to organize a parallel leadership meeting either in Quebec or in Ottawa. Meantime, Quebec's Union Nationale leader says there's been an economic exodus from the province of Quebec during the past year, and he's seen some staggering statistics to prove it.
Rodrigue Biron claims that he was shown statistics which indicate that close to $4 billion has left the province over the past year. Biron told members of his Union Nationale party that the figures he saw were compiled by statisticians, economists, and financial analysts from Montreal's business community. Mr. Biron says that when he first saw the figures, it was hard for him to comprehend or even accept them. But he says that he's been given an assurance that the figures are accurate and very realistic. Biron adds that the money is leaving Quebec quietly and in small amounts. And he said that a clear indication of how much money in savings and investment has left the province can be seen on the number of French-speaking bank managers and tellers in Florida. Biron says that the Parti Québécois government is ignoring the problem and instead concentrating on cultural white papers. Meanwhile, Premier René Lévesque has said, how can Biron know the figures when the PQ government doesn't even have a running estimate? This is Peter Novak, CKO News, Montreal.
As the sealers off the Labrador coast settle down to their routine among the ice floes, the major protest group finds itself becalmed in a rooming house in the town of St. Anthony. The Greenpeace Foundation is waiting for permits to visit the ice again, even though its president has been ordered to appear in court to face charges of interfering with the annual hunt. Patrick Moore was arrested Saturday on the ice when he sat on a seal pup in an attempt to prevent it from being killed by sealers. British Columbia Hydro Transit maintenance workers returned to work early today, and normal public transit service in the Vancouver area and Victoria has resumed. The 3,500-member local of the Amalgamated Transit Unit voted yesterday to accept a union executive recommendation to end its six-day walkout and return to work. Union spokesman Al Ashton says the vote was 89.3% in favor of the executive recommendation. The crew of a B.C. herring fishing vessel spent more than 70 hours in the icy waters off the Pacific Ocean over the weekend before being picked up. Skipper Don Larden says the decision to abandon ship following an onboard explosion wasn't an easy one.
You know, when you get in the water, it's game over. The thing was that we had to make up my mind what to do, and I told the guys that, you know, that we're, look at, nobody's, you know, burnt. It was about 10:58 when the trouble started, when we had about 8 minutes from when we found out till the time we had to get off. So we didn't have much time, and I thought that if we tried to launch that, sure as heck, someone would have got crippled or killed or, you know, if it started sliding around, this big thing. So we just said we'll take the life raft, and the guys all listened, and they did as they were told, and because they were just in their stocking feet and T-shirts and stuff.
Larden says they took some provisions with them.
Last us, it was just like little tiny, and we doled it out, because all over it was 10 cans of water, I think, and six little packets of really high protein. Like, they were like little tiny chocolate bars. They're like white. One was really sweet, and one was like a bread substance. And we ate one package and one can of water in 3 days, so we could have probably lasted another 10 or 15 days if we could have got through the cold.
Doug Larden, the skipper of the herring fishing vessel Mother 3, it was the second herring vessel lost off the West Coast since last Thursday. The crew of the other ship is still missing, and one is known dead. The Canadian weather picture in British Columbia: variable cloudiness, a few showers across the central portions. Yukon, variable cloudiness with isolated flurries. Alberta, variable cloudiness. Saskatchewan, much the same, cloudy with periods of light snow in the north. Elsewhere, though, it's sunny. Manitoba, cloudy north and central, except sunny near Hudson's Bay. Ontario, north is clouding over with snow developing. In the south, it's mainly sunny. Quebec, mainly sunny, except in the northwest. The Maritime provinces, mostly sunny, windy, and colder.
Most household fires can be avoided by using common sense and by following guidelines provided by your local fire department. But accidents will happen. Here are some tips from your fire department. In cooking fires, the most common type of household fire, common sense and a cool head will usually help stop the blaze quickly. When a fire involving grease, oil, or fat occurs, follow these directions. Turn off the stove or appliance right away and put a lid on the pan. This will deprive the fire of air, thereby quelling it. If a lid isn't available, use baking soda or an approved extinguisher. Never try to remove the pan from the stove. This could involve curtains and other materials, setting them ablaze, and could lead to burns if the contents spill. Most importantly, never use water to extinguish an oil fire. The oil will float on top of the water and spread the fire. After you've put the fire out, inform your fire department to make sure everything is safe.
CKO News Time, 15 and a half minutes past 10 o'clock. You are listening to CKO 6, 101 on your FM dial. The current downtown Edmonton temperature is 6 degrees Celsius. Mainly cloudy, some sunshine today, isolated showers clearing during the afternoon. Moderate to strong westerly winds, the highs today plus 8 to plus 10, the lows tonight around minus 2, mainly sunny tomorrow.
Let's look at sports. The Canadian Senior Women's Curling Championship goes into the third round today in St. John's, Newfoundland. Three rinks are tied for the lead. Saskatchewan, Manitoba, and Nova Scotia all share top spot with 2-0 records. Quebec and British Columbia are unbeaten after one start. The Alberta Golden Bears are taking home this year's Canadian College Hockey title. The Golden Bears won the title yesterday with a 6-5 victory over the Toronto Blues in Moncton, New Brunswick. Last year, Toronto beat Alberta in the final. Chris Evert is seeded number one for a tennis tournament, which starts today in Philadelphia. Yvonne Goolagan is second. Yesterday at a tournament in Boston, Goolagan beat Evert for the championship. The event in Boston was Evert's first after a three-month vacation. Hall of Famer Mickey Mantle's 23-year-old son is trying to break into baseball with the Yankees. Young Mantle, also named Mickey, says his father never pushed him into baseball, but he wants to take a shot at it before he's too old. When Mickey Sr. was 23, he'd hit 306 with 37 home runs and 99 RBIs. The Yankees say they'd be only too happy to have another Mantle if he has the ability. In baseball, exhibition baseball, that is, today, Minnesota will play against Montreal, Toronto at St. Louis. Trainer Angelo Dundee says he's not going to let Sugar Ray Leonard's success yesterday change his plans for developing the young boxer's career. Leonard used a pair of left jabs to the side of the head to stun Californian Javier Muntz before their New Haven, Connecticut fight was just 30 seconds old. A vicious combination followed by a strong right put Muntz down with 15 seconds left in the first round. And the chairman of the U.S. Davis Cup Committee says he's going to do some serious lobbying in the next few weeks to get Jimmy Connors back into the international tennis competition. In NHL hockey tonight, two games are scheduled. Montreal is in Vancouver, and New York Islanders play at Philadelphia. In other news, peacekeeping forces may begin duties in Lebanon sometime today.
A United Nations spokesman here says unofficially that he expects the first UN peacekeeping forces to arrive here sometime today. But he says arrangements still must be made with all parties concerned, including, of course, the Israelis. He indicates that every effort will be made to begin the operation as soon as an initial contingent of troops can be mustered. Perhaps sometime today. It appears the UN forces already on truce-watching duty elsewhere in the Middle East will be sent to Lebanon to begin this observer task. Milt Fullerton, ABC News, Beirut.
Well, according to Milt Fullerton, then, Canadian soldiers may be doing some of the peacekeeping work in Lebanon. We haven't heard any confirmation of that from Ottawa. Hopes of an immediate cleanup of a massive oil spill off the coast of France are dimming as the weather grows worse.
The latest weather reports from the French Brittany coast say that the wind is again gaining force and threatens to hamper the operations to clean up the massive black tide of oil from the wrecked supertanker Amoco Cadiz. After stopping for nearly 24 hours, seepage has once again begun from the shattered tanker, which is already spewing an estimated 100... Owners, Amoco International of Chicago, have flown to the scene to investigate the cause of the disaster. Bernard Kaplan, ABC News, Paris.
A study of prison inmates shows a significant number underwent major events that changed their lives in the year before they were imprisoned. Events ranged from the death of a spouse, loss of a job, or breakup of a marriage, to trouble on the job, financial difficulties, arguments within the family, personal injuries, or illness. The researchers questioned 176 male inmates of McNeil Island Federal Prison in Washington and a state penitentiary at Walla Walla, Washington. They questioned them about events that had occurred in the year or so before they were jailed. They concluded that too many stressful life events could drive a person to crime. The study, published in the current edition of Archives of General Rehabilitation, found that prisoners were less stable and more mobile than a control group. In addition, prisoners had changed careers more often than the control group and had been fired more often and had a greater incidence of money problems. A West German anti-terrorist squad has joined Italian police in the search for former Italian Premier Aldo Moro.
The police search for Aldo Moro and his abductors moves on today, however slowly. It is believed that the Red Brigade is hiding Moro somewhere here in Rome, probably not far from where they ambushed his motorcade 4 days ago. And why this belief? Because the Red Brigade got away so fast without a trace, it's unlikely that they went very far. And because cars used in the ambush have been found, one as late as last night, within a couple of miles of the ambush site. Cars found where earlier searches had turned up nothing. Greg Dobbs, ABC News, Rome.
A study by a non-profit business research organization in the United States says a guaranteed job may soon be more important in labor negotiations than salaries, pensions, or other benefits. A study by the Conference Board says lengthy layoffs in recent years account for the fact that workers and their unions are becoming more concerned about job security. The study says supplemental unemployment benefits, severance pay plans, and other unemployment compensation are being discussed by unions in labor negotiations. You'll hear business next with Leslie Byrons on CKO. News you can use.
A lot of people have indoor plants. And a lot of those people find their plants only last a few weeks. There are five basic areas of care: temperature, water, light, humidity, and soil. Every plant has special requirements. When you're buying one, ask the salesperson how you should properly care for it. For example, some plants will do better in the shade than in the full sunlight. Some need a lot of water, and others will die if you water them more than once a month. So know the best conditions for each plant. Another important procedure is repotting. Eventually, your plant will exhaust the minerals from its soil and have to be replanted. You'll enjoy your houseplants if you take care of them. This is a public service of CKO All News Radio.